This will just be a meditation this morning, so that means a short sermon. We're going to have communion after our meditation. The sermon text is Luke 1, verses 67 through 80, and I've entitled it the Benedictus, which means the blessing. Now the Benedictus, or the blessing, was first sung by the Holy Spirit-filled Zechariah after the birth, the miraculous birth of his son John the Baptist. Now, Zechariah served the Lord as a Levitical priest in the temple and in Jerusalem, and he and his wife had prayed long and hard that they might have a baby. And Elizabeth was still barren and beyond childbearing years. And so they'd lost hope. They'd lost hope that they could have a child of their own. But one day when Zechariah was in the temple and was serving at the altar of incense, he was confronted suddenly and unexpectedly by the angel Gabriel. This is the same angel, of course, that presented himself to Mary and the one who was sent from God. As he stood there, as the angel stood there at the right-hand side of the altar talking to Zechariah, it scared him. It was sudden. It was unexpected. Nothing like this had ever happened before. He hadn't heard of anything like this happening before in the temple. And so Gabriel said to him, he calmed him down, which usually is what always happens when either we have an appearance of an angel or an appearance of Christ unexpectedly or an angel of the Lord. It scares people. So it says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John." Now, unfortunately, all this happened so quickly, and Zechariah didn't have enough faith. He didn't believe the angel Gabriel. So as a result, he was made mute. He couldn't speak until John was born. And so, right after that, of course, Elizabeth miraculously became pregnant. And she bore their son, John. And 8 days after his birth, as they were prescribed to do, he was there to, with his son, to have him circumcised. And some of the people wanted to name him, like ZJ, right? Zechariah Jr. or something, you know, like Little Zech. But Zechariah wrote down, because he couldn't speak yet, he said, no, I'm going to write down his name. He wrote down, no, we're going to name him John. And, of course, that was what Gabriel had commanded him to do. And so as soon as he did that, then he was able to speak again. And God restored his speech. And the fear of God then also came upon all the neighbors. And the word of the miraculous happenings that surrounded John's birth went out far and wide around that whole region. And as a result, John the Baptist, even from his birth, became a special child, became someone that was different and holy. And as Jesus would say later, he was the greatest among men that was born. But that was an amazing thing to say. Of course, we know he goes out in the wilderness and lives until he actually enters his ministry. And so John the Baptist is got an assignment, and he's a wonderful, miraculous baby that Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted. And so Zechariah's response to all of this is that he blessed God, and he sang the Benedictus, which we have now today to see and look at. And so I want to read that for us now. Anybody wants to join me, look at Luke 1. Verses 67 through 80. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said to the holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this amazing work that you have done. Thank you for choosing Zechariah and Elizabeth to have this amazing man, John the Baptist, as their son, and for the ministry that he has. And Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our hearts and help us to rejoice and be encouraged and full of hope as we see these mighty works that you do, things that are beyond our understanding or our abilities. And we thank you, Lord, that we might receive. On our end, we are to receive, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a surprise in this song, and I'm not going to get into all the details of this because this is a meditation this morning, so I'm going to pick out a couple of things because there's a lot here. You could probably have a couple of sermons on it. But there's a surprise here, and I would suggest that the surprise then is that this miraculous birth that had taken place of John and all the circumstances surrounding that, that all these things that had happened to Zechariah, that you would think that he would be filled with praising God for his son. It would be all about John the Baptist, but it's not. What he's declaring here is the greatness and the goodness of God. You see, verses 68 through 75 are really about Jesus. And there's only two verses that really apply to John the Baptist, verses 76 and 77. So his focus is on what God has done and on the glory and the greatness of God and sending his son Jesus. And that should be our focus this morning. As much as God has done for you in your personal life and all in terms of this world stuff, then that's great and that's good. And we've all had different kinds of experiences that way. But ultimately, it's the salvation that's brought through Christ is what we should be celebrating, and the future and the hope that we have because of that. So how does Zechariah begin the Benedictus? What does he start with? He says, he blesses the Lord God of Israel. And what reason? For what reason does he bless God? It's for his merciful visiting and redeeming, for coming into this dark world, for Jesus coming and redeeming this people. And he says, for raising up a horn of salvation. And that's kind of an unusual expression. We can kind of read past that. What does that really mean, right? Raising up a horn of salvation from the house of David. So we know that this can't be John, this horn of salvation, right? Because John and Elizabeth are both of the house of Levi. And so we know it has to be Jesus because he's the one that's of the house of David. He's the one that's going to do these amazing things that John is declaring. So in his great mercy, and we see that word being used several times through here, this the idea of mercy. And so what is mercy, right? We have to think about that for just a second. What is mercy? And what does mercy have to do with me? Well, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and I deserved the wrath of God. That's how I was born into this world. That's how you were born into this world, all of us. No exceptions. So what mercy means is I'm not going to receive the wrath that I deserve because of all the sins I've been committing. That's mercy, right? It's something I don't receive that I deserve. What a glorious thing that is. I mean, that should be something that should make our hearts sing along with Zechariah here this morning. And so what he says here in his great mercy, God raised up a horn of salvation for us. So the word horn here is not a beautiful musical instrument like we just heard Rob was playing, so praise God for that. It was beautiful. Thank you for that. But this is not a musical instrument. It's the deadly horn of the wild ox. So it's a sign of strength and victory. That was the way they thought about these wild oxes in that day. You know, when we lived in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was pastoring down there, one of the elders had a ranchette, a 10-acre ranchette that was out of town. And so I'd go out and visit him from time to time. And he decided that he was going to have a couple of Texas longhorns out there. Well, I'd never seen a Texas longhorn up close. You know, you hear about it, longhorns and all that. Anyway, I got up close to one of those, and I was amazed. I was not only amazed, I was afraid. Because from tip to tip, the horns go about 10 feet. Think about that. That's, okay, when I stretch out, this is my height, right? 6'2". All right, add another 4 feet on the end of that. That's how long those horns are. I mean, it's scary. I mean, if I had gotten into that same place where they were, then I would have not felt safe. So when we talk about this raised up a horn of salvation for us, then he's referring then to Jesus fighting for us. He's referring to what it says in Psalm 18, in verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." He's the one who fights for me. He's the one that frees me. He's the one that defends me. He's the one that gives me security. And he's the one that ensures that when he comes back, he's going to finish that which he has started. And so my heart's rejoicing over that. And so this is why Zechariah is rejoicing. He's saying, this is what's happened to me. This is what's going on. And I am so glad. I do rejoice in this miraculous birth of John the Baptist. But there's something even greater that's happened to me. And that's happened to every one of you here this morning. You have been those who have received the mercy of God. Jesus has gone to the cross and received the wrath that you deserve in your place. And that should make our hearts sing this morning. All of us, me included. We have been singing a lot this morning. And I really appreciate music and song because it lifts my spirits. And I know it lifts your spirits as well as we declare the glories of God. And so Jesus is going to be using his power in the future as well as already having used it. He's going to protect our salvation. Even though we've already been saved, he's going to continue. And so it's talking here in terms of a couple of things. He says that in verse 68, that this redemption that's spoken of, that it must include redemption from fear of enemies. That's one thing. And from all unrighteousness. So he conquers fear and unrighteousness. We have been given his righteousness. It's been conquered. We don't walk in our own righteousness. We walk in Christ's righteousness. He's the Messiah. And he's going to continue to honor us with that until he comes back. And so we are to trust in that. Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. The battle took place. The horn of our salvation defeated the devil. The power was broken on the cross. We call that definitive sanctification. If you want to get into theological terms, a definitive sanctification, that's what that means, is the power of Satan was broken on the cross. And Jesus gave us his righteousness. What a glorious thing that is to think about and to rejoice in this morning. Now let's see what Zechariah says about his son in verses 76 and 77. Why was it important that God raised up a man like John the Baptist? Because God not only saves us, but he gives us a place in the plan of salvation. We're included in this. So it's not just Jesus. It is Jesus. He's the primary one. But we are included in the same plan. And so you're included in that plan this morning. But in terms of John the Baptist, his role was to go out and declare the truth of the word of God to people and to call the Israelites to repentance. He was to declare to them that they were sinners. How would you like that job? He's not calling us all out to go out in our neighborhoods and declare that our neighbors are all sinners. But it's important that we realize we're not good. No one is good, not even one. Right? And so, He was the messenger, the prophet of the Most High. He had to prepare the way. He was sort of plowing up the ground, this hard ground that was in Israel, the hard hearts of the people in Israel. That's why he had to come. And so he's like this farmer, if you will, but he's plowing up that ground so that the people can hear their Savior. And of course we know they reject Jesus overall, and he has to go to the cross. But ultimately, those who believe in him will be saved. And those who are the ones who get saved are those who repent of their sins. And that's what John the Baptist said. That was the first words that you hear him say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came saying exactly the same thing. You see that in chapter 3 of Matthew. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I think we need to ask ourselves is, how often do you repent? See, you only repent when you're convicted of sin. So are we most of the time thinking that we're good and that whatever I'm thinking and deciding for myself outside of what the Bible says, am I running my life by my own thinking or by how the Word of God guides and directs me? And over and over and over in the Old Testament, the problem is always that they're not asking God. Whenever you have a decision to make, you need to ask God, God, what do you want in this? Not my will, but your will be done. And so, one of the first things we have to do is to say, look, you know, I'm not always doing that. So I need to repent of that. I need to ask God more. I need to spend more time in this personal relationship that he's given me. He delights in that relationship, and he wants to guide and direct me. He's going to speak to me through this. Not how I feel about things. My feelings are not the basis of my decision making. I do have feelings, I have strong feelings, but I'm not to make my decisions based on those feelings. If it had just been a feeling thing, then Jesus would not have gone to the cross. He would not have been sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so we need to come to this place where we need to be honest before the one who loves us completely and totally, the one who is the horn of our salvation, is fighting for us and will never let us go, who has declared that we are worth dying for because that's what he's done. He's died for us. You can't get any more worth than that. So if you've got self-worth problems, you need to spend a lot more time thinking about the fact that Jesus says, you're worth dying for. And he proved it, and he did it. And he's going to delight in you until he comes back. And then he's going to finish what he started. And so John the Baptist had this part to play of going out. Wasn't a very popular guy, but he was highly thought of by God. That's what Jesus declares. And so what is the part that God's called you to play? If you're excited about Jesus being the horn of your salvation, of having his righteousness, having a new heart, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, all these different things have happened to us. When we know we can go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness when we do sin, we can repent and turn to Christ. We are those that have received mercy upon mercy. His mercies are new every morning for you. So even when we are acting imperfectly, which we all do, sinfully, which we all do, then he's never going to ultimately reject you. You're safe. You are secure. You have hope. And he's going to come again. And so this is what Zechariah's blessing is all about, the Benedictus. You have been blessed beyond understanding in a far greater way than you can ever know or understand. And please remember, please, please remember that his mercies are new every morning for you. And he's never going to change his mind, and his grace is sufficient for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word you've given us this morning, this Benedictus. Would you help us to be quick to repent when we are convicted of sin? Would you help us to not beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves or others when we see them sinning? But may we pray for one another. May we be wise and loving and caring like Jesus is. May we grow in our Christ-likeness as we see these things, as we go deeper. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you join me in the bulletin here in just a second with the prayer of Advent, I'm going to first of all pray for Ron Bossom, and then we'll go into this prayer here in the bulletin. Father, thank you for Ron Bossom and all the amazing work that he's done over the years. He has been faithful in the least. He has served this area, this presbytery, Harvest. He's done an amazing job, and now he's just had a stroke. And so would you please minister to your servant? Would you bring him healing and strength and quick recovery? And we thank you for that. And now please join with me now in the prayer for Advent. Almighty God, who has given us your only begotten Son to take our nature upon himself and to be born of a virgin, grant that we, being regenerate and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Spirit, even one God, world without end. Amen.